This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. That's where we are, covering this China virus. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I just heard the governor of the great state of North Dakota say 6 to 10 weeks with this level of restrictions, and there are worst case scenarios beyond that. So, I don't know about you, but I like to hear that because I tend to think we're isolated from this, far away. You know, the numbers are, I think we still have a battle on our hands. I still think we have to be smart about this. And, you know, when a worst-case scenario is beyond 10 weeks of these level of restrictions, you think about just what an unbelievable different universe we're living in right now. We need to take it real seriously. So wrapping my mind around that, we have other guests this hour, including the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, is going to join us right off the ranch. She had a lot of common sense from Kristi Noem. She has, of course, been in Congress and a frequent guest of ours in her time in the House, and now the chief executive of the state of North Dakota. We'll also talk with President Trump's, what did I say?
North Dakota.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did.
I put her in North Dakota?
You did.
Well, thank you for
she's
catching
South
that.
She's South Dakota girl.
Yeah, she's South Dakota girl. The coronavirus impact on the labor force is something we're going to focus on with the President Trump's cabinet member, Secretary Eugene Scalia, will join us later this hour, and also Dr. Mark Hagerot, North Dakota University System, will talk about that as well. So, here we go on another hour of the program brought to you by MyPillow. You see what Mike Lindell is doing?
I did see that. I love it.
They shut down the plant. They're not doing pillows anymore. They're doing masks.
Yeah.
And they're donating these, and it's unbelievable. One of the reasons I'm going to order something else today. I'm going to order something every day this week from MyPillow just because of that. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. There's a bunch of new specials, a ton of buy one, get one specials under the radio listener specials. Check it out or call 800-506-9028. The governor of the great state of South Dakota joins us on the program, Kristi Noem. Governor, thanks for taking some time on a busy day. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, Scott. Glad to be with you today.
It is a challenging time in South Dakota, no doubt. I've seen the numbers. I used to live in here on South Dakota, so my heart bleeds for the folks there in Beadle County. Numbers obviously spiking there, but just give us the overview right now of what you're battling.
Have been going after this virus pretty aggressively in the state. We've just really reminded people to take personal responsibility to do the social distancing, good hygiene practices. We do have now, just in the last day or two, community spread in a couple of communities. Probably one of the hardest hit areas has been Huron, which is Beadle County. But their local leadership is taking strong action and dealing with it. And, you know, we know that we're in for a long road here. We've got probably 8 weeks before we hit our peak infection rates in our state. And so we know we'll continue to see increasing numbers, but we've been pretty proactive to delay it as long as possible to get prepared to handle those that might be hit harder by the virus and take good care of them and get through it. So interesting times, but I'm so proud of the people of our state. They're just working hard to take care of each other.
I know testing has been a frustration for you. 820 people tested as of yesterday. I think 1,602 in North Dakota. We just talked to Governor Burgum about this as well. His frustration, really don't have enough data with those numbers to say what we have in the way of a situation. How is that being resolved?
Well, for us, the issue was not having the reagents to process the tests at our public lab. We had a couple days last week where we ran out of product. Actually, your North Dakota lab, we swapped some supplies with them to resupply, which was great. That's what I love about South Dakota is I think we sent some swabs up to your lab, and you sent us some reagents that the chemicals necessary to process our labs and get our tests and get results. So that was fantastic. You know, we are going to get to a point, and I've been reminding the people of South Dakota, where we just can't test everybody. We're going to have to prioritize people that are in that vulnerable population that either are elderly or they have pre-existing health conditions which cause their immune systems to be compromised and make them more susceptible to having some side effects that could be quite serious to their health. So, you know, I think the main goal right now is to stand up our healthcare providers so that we can handle the amount of people that will need attention, but also make sure that we're mentally preparing ourselves for the weeks ahead, because all the data shows that it'll be May, middle of May, early June before we hit those peak rates, and then we'll still be dealing with this after that. So in South Dakota, you know, this quarantine that the president has laid out and what the recommendations are from me just is not a week or two. It's going to be longer than that.
You know, I know that everybody does things a little bit differently based on, you know, the decisions there. I've heard some people say that the statewide mandate was probably the safest way to you know, hold down and make the standards uniform. I know in South Dakota, I believe you've done it city by city. Is it working? I mean, is it, I mean, people conforming, and are you having any issues with some cities not doing it and other cities doing it correctly?
I gave direction to the state in an executive order that businesses needed to be innovative to take care of their customers and to make sure they're keeping people employed that need to keep food on the table, and that if they were going to stay open, that they needed to limit sizes to 10 or less. I did not order that they close, but I did say that they needed to be innovative, and it gave the cities and towns and counties the opportunity to be more restrictive if that was the decision that their local leaders made with feedback from the local community. So it is working. We have a few bad actors, but we've, you know, those city councils, those mayors are empowered to go pass ordinances or whatever they need to do, and have, I've encouraged them to have face-to-face conversations with those bad actors and go talk to them, pick up the phone, call them, and say, you know, we need you not only to take responsibility for you and your family, but also for the people that are coming into your establishments. And I think that just those conversations and the way we do business in South Dakota, it's been remarkable to see the folks work together. You know, that's the whole argument that we have to have as a country, is we do have people that are going to get sick. We also have to recognize that 4 to 5 weeks, we're going to have people without any money and no ability to feed their children. And there's going to be mental health issues that we'll be dealing with from people being isolated for so long. There's going to be ramifications that are going to hit families that are going to add more, you know, concerns on top of them, and that we have to be prepared for that and do all we can to help them get through this tough situation. Part of that is making sure that they can have a grocery store to go to, a drugstore to go get what they need, that we facilitate alternative times. I think our executive order is the only one that directed businesses to set up separate times of operation specifically for that vulnerable population. It directed them to be disinfecting, to be following CDC guidelines. So we've tried to give them a very good guideline, a baseline for how to operate, and then let those cities go further if they want to.
How long, I mean, I need, and I know a lot of people that I'm talking to, even clients, businesses, you know, people on the street, friends, neighbors, whatever, that they just want a sense of, okay, what's the best case, what's the worst case scenario? Well, you know, what, you know, in other words, back to normal, restrictions lifted, and okay, the numbers are coming down, we bent the curve, and we obviously got to be smart going out of this, but at what point do you feel you're going to be comfortable enough to say, you know, we're back to quote-unquote normal, the new normal on the way out of this? Best case, worst case would be what?
Well, I'm being very honest with folks. It'll be years before we're back to normal. I mean, literally, because it's going to hit our budgets, it's going to hit our economy, it's going to hit our state budget dramatically for several years. So yeah, we are already seeing trends that we're going to just have to be making adjustments on. As far as their lives, hopefully within 6 months, we'll be back to functioning like we did before this virus hit. What I'm telling them as far as the social distancing and the strong cautions that they have to be taking to stay home, that they need to be prepared to do that until May, early June. So those time frames, I think they have to start dealing with. And our modeling, which is not extreme optimistic, it's not extreme pessimistic, but our modeling shows that we could have 30% of the population of South Dakota contract this virus. So that's 265,000+ people, and a lot of this population is going to have very mild symptoms. Some may not even know that they have it. But that is a perspective of that we have this virus that will spread, and that we have to be prepared for that and make sure that if we do have the virus that we're not out there interacting with people, that it could be a serious detriment to their health.
Only a few seconds. Go ahead.
No, I just think that in South Dakota, we're just common sense people that want the truth, and we give us a task to do and we'll do it. And that's really what I'm seeing out of the people here. This is tough. We've never done anything like this before. But they're up to the challenge, and they really do believe in personal responsibility and taking care of their neighbors.
I'm up against the clock here, so I got to get going. But I do want to ask you real quickly, given the modeling, 30% of the population, are the hospital beds of the healthcare system in South Dakota prepared to handle that, or will you need additional help?
We're adding additional resources, and we'll have that assessment completely done within a day or two here.
Got it. To follow the model. Well, we're here. If we can help in any way, shape, or form to get the word out, appreciate what you're doing. Best of luck to you, Christy. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Thanks so much, Scott. Have a great day.
Governor Christy Noem, South Dakota, on What's on Your Mind.
Ethanol brings energy and agriculture together. We're chatting with Brian Markegaard today, process engineer for Dakota Spirit, part of the Midwest Ag Energy family. In spirit way, what if ethanol went away? What would that mean for corn farmers? What does that mean for North Dakota?
There's about 40 employees here at the plant, right around 40. So those jobs would be gone. They're very good paying jobs. So those positions would be gone from the community, which we saw with Cargill moving out, the number of jobs that left the community. And then just from the ability to process that corn right here makes a big impact, again, with the farm community, which in this part of the world supports the local community through buying equipment and all the other things that farmers are spending money on as well. And then the trickle effect of all that money in the community is huge.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I don't know about you, but I am waking up to, I'm sorry to use the phrase, new normal, saying the restrictions that are in place here in the heartland of America are going to be here longer than I thought. I just did a little check on the calendar. Okay, Governor Burgum said, 6 to 10 weeks. I'm on the worst-case scenario side, but there are worst-case scenarios worse than that. So let's pick 10 weeks as worst-case scenario. That's June 3rd. That's June 3rd.
Wow, I know, right?
South Dakota Governor Christy Noem just told us It'll be years. Let's be honest. It'll be years. It's going to have a devastating impact on state budgets, on the economy, on everything. 6 months before individuals have anything close to normal.
And well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe all of that. I think that some will come back faster than others.
I
don't know.
Felt the same way coming into today, but these people are looking at models. They're looking at statistics. They're looking at how this is, you know. So these are interesting times in which we live. Don't forget, if you have a question or comment, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you want to celebrate somebody with that Be the Buffalo spirit that has most folks in North Dakota, it's in their DNA. They just go into the storm, just like the buffalo. That's what they do at Oasis Petroleum. Celebrate them. Call us. Leave a comment, 855-200-1776. Next up on the program, a member of President Trump's cabinet, the Secretary of the Department of Education, is with us today on the program. Welcome, Eugene Scalia. Secretary Scalia, thanks for being here.
Yeah, Scott, good to be with you. And it's the Labor Department I have right now. I worked years ago at the Education Department, but I'm Labor Secretary now.
You know, I knew that, but
he's been doing that all day.
But it's kind of the coronavirus impact on my brain here, I guess. So. Anyway, I and labor, I think, is the central issue to what worries me most when this is done. We got to do what we got to do on the health side. I get all that, but what are we going to look like as a country coming on the other side of that? I've heard estimates, you know, as high as 30% unemployment. What do your models tell you?
We know it's going to go up significantly. Obviously, we hope for a short period of time, Scott. You know, as you were saying a moment ago, it's critical right now, as difficult as it may seem, to follow the guidance that's being laid down by Governor Burgum and public health authorities so that we can beat the virus. And unfortunately, that's just dealing a real blow to American business right now. And that's putting people out of work. Now, the deal that was struck early this morning in the Senate, that bill, I think, is going to be really valuable relief for American workers and American businesses. There's a lot of money there for unemployment insurance, but better yet, there's money there to help businesses stay afloat and for them to continue to pay their workers. You know, it's going to be a tough stretch, but I think you're right that we do need to focus on, once we've turned that corner and put our economy in a position that we're able to spring back and get back to the really high level of productivity that our economy had just weeks ago.
I'm not sure of the provision, but I believe the dollar amount is $350 billion in there for businesses, 500 individuals or less, where they would go to their bank, they would say, here's my payroll, here's my essential expenses. They'd receive a loan that converts to a grant if they keep that workforce in place. If that works as designed, and please correct me if I've stated anything incorrectly, that would eliminate the need for a lot of the unemployment relief, would it not?
It would. And I think the outcome you just described, and I think you described the program really pretty accurately, Scott, the idea is that there would be a federal-backed loan that would cover your payroll and also utilities, mortgage, to help the businesses stay afloat, provided that they keep their workers on payroll, then that loan is forgiven. And look, I think it's more valuable if we can keep an attachment between the employer, the employee. Employers find it hard to find really good, reliable employees sometimes. So if we can keep that relationship, it's good for the employer. And, of course, it's good for the employee, too, to stay in touch with the employer rather than go into the unemployment insurance system. But if they have to, there is a lot more funding being put into that unemployment insurance system, too, since, you know, this is something that's happened to us. It came to us externally. It's, as the president has said, it's an invisible enemy. And it's extremely disruptive, and we don't want American workers to have to pay the price for that.
We're talking with President Trump's Labor Secretary, Eugene Scalia, with us today on What's on Your Mind. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing in the unemployment claims to this point. What are we, you know, I know, for instance, in North Dakota, as I'm sure you're aware, we are the second biggest oil-producing state in the country. And over half the taxes paid in the entire state of North Dakota come from the oil and gas industry. So when gas plummets as a result of a, you know, share war between Saudi Arabia and Russia and the shale play in the U.S., it hurts here big time. And that combined with the coronavirus market issues, I mean, you're talking about oil literally drawing about $12 at the wellhead right now a barrel. So it's scary times, and you know, that wave started before the coronavirus wave and some of these mandated shutdowns. What are you seeing in the numbers?
By the way, I had a good conversation with Governor Burgum last week. I called to talk to him about some things that we were doing to make unemployment insurance more widely available, some flexibilities we wanted to make sure the states were aware of, and he was filling me in on the impact that the oil price war has had already on your employment markets in North Dakota. Obviously, he's focused on that and concerned about it. We release our unemployment numbers tomorrow morning, Scott. These are the numbers that are provided by the state showing how many more people have signed up for unemployment over the past week. And we know it's going to be just much larger than we've seen. We're coming out of a period where the economy was so strong. We had record low unemployment. We had rising wages. We were creating jobs at an extraordinary pace that we created 273,000 jobs as a nation in January and February. It was blowing away the experts' expectations at the time. But now, look, we're seeing a very tough, challenging reversal. And so we know we're going to see some high unemployment numbers. The good news is that the problems that businesses are experiencing right now are not a flaw in their business model. It's not a deep flaw in our financial system. It's a virus that is wreaking havoc. But once we beat that back, we should be in a good position economically to get back to where we were just a few weeks ago.
Only have about a minute left, but I do want to ask you, related to the unemployment numbers and the programs. The governor did mention your call, by the way, in his daily briefing. And as I recall, there were some provisions made on waiving the waiting period, also increasing the amount where you normally have a percentage of the salary. Are those federal things, or are those state by state, those changes being made?
The changes are made state by state, but what we did just a couple weeks ago, and what I called the governor to make sure he was aware of, was we made sure states knew they had the flexibility to do some of the kinds of things that you're just describing, Scott. And so it's a sort of federal-state partnership in the unemployment area, but we wanted states to know that they had that flexibility. But we also wanted them to know that we're making what we call dislocated worker grants available to the states, which can also provide some additional unemployment insurance coverage or job training funds to help people train for new work when the work they've had is lost because of a national emergency like we're experiencing.
I want to have you back and talk about how this will come back when we're all done. But it can come back as quick as it went away, can it?
I'd like to think so, and I think we need to do everything now to look toward that day, be ready for it, and part of, I think, how we do that is support our small businesses right now so they can support their workers and be ready to get back on the job.
We're Tioga Chamber of Commerce, and we want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. Tioga's average yearly household income of over $73,000 a year supports nearly 140 area businesses. Tioga is a driver and innovator in local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, electronics, and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Tioga is an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Robot Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, and Pumpkin Festival. Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. We want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. If you're looking for great opportunities, please visit us in Tioga and experience a great point of view. Or for more information, visit TiogaND.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. The U.S. Senate now expected to move quickly before the day is over to pass a massive economic stimulus package because of the coronavirus outbreak. Democrats have been holding it up, saying it was too good to corporations, not good enough for American workers. Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin.
We came together on a bipartisan basis with the White House and really struck an agreement that we think answers the highest priorities. We were insisting suggesting that there be a Marshall Plan for hospitals. We went from $75 billion in the original bill to $130 billion.
New York City now the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the United States, where infections are skyrocketing. Nearly 16,000 cases have been confirmed as of the start of today. New York's Governor Cuomo has warned the number of infections there might not peak till mid-April. This is USA Radio News.
So here's the choice. Some people say the USA is finished. It's evil, a has-been, full of hate and injustice. The U.S. Constitution should be trashed and the Bill of Rights abolished. No free speech, no gun ownership. Competition and free markets are bad. We're all too stupid. For our own good, the government must own everything and know all your secrets.
Other people say that America has created the freest, richest, happiest, most generous society that has ever existed in the world. That's why millions of people are desperate to come here and escape their brutal lives in Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and 100 other countries.
In America, we have the right to succeed, the right to our own living, the right to have a family, the right to believe in God, the right to have our own ideas, the right to be safe and secure, and the right to be left alone.
Where do you stand? Help us save the Constitution and restore the American dream. Go to SaveMyFreedom.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Elton John. Gotta love a little Philadelphia freedom, don't you?
Oh,
come on.
73 years young.
Oh, my gosh, I love it.
His June show at the Fargo Dome, of course, has been postponed or whatever.
Where was he going to be?
Fargo Dome in June.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Say, Dr. Mark Hagerot is calling my cell phone. Maybe at Flag Press could give him the correct number for a... the control room.
I was going to say, otherwise you could do what I do and you call me in the afternoon on K-Fire.
He just puts me on
the
air.
Mic there and...
He puts me on the air. Hot Spring
Spas.
Well,
I figured it must be important if you're calling me live like that. It's got to be.
Remember that time you did that with Clay Jenkinson and I had a little debate? It was very fun.
And I notice he's never forgiven me for that one either for some reason.
Is that right? Well, you know? Fine. We're fine.
I mean, he used to actually pop on every now and then.
The K-Fire Cafe.
Can I just publicly congratulate you on the civility and the humor and the good taste you show in the program that you do? I really appreciate that a lot.
Lee, I thought you actually listened to this show.
Oh, I haven't ever listened to it, but you handed me this script. I read it as well as I could.
Yeah, but Phil Parker wrote it.
All right. I got it. Precious time here. We got to go. Okay, so let me tell you about hot spring spas and pool tables, too. I saw something the other day, and I said, is this true that the coronavirus, COVID-19, that actual strain of the virus, that there are some studies, I don't know if it's, somebody that doesn't know their rear end from third base, but it looked official to me, said the coronavirus dies at 135 degrees.
Yes, I said this.
Have you seen that too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm not crazy. 135 degrees. So you gotta, we're gonna bake it out. Well, I call my friend Vince Webker at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too, who has been telling me forever I need a sauna. He's in there twice a day, and the guy's healthy as a horse. He's riding bike. It's unbelievable. So I said, now how hot is the sauna? You know what the answer is? 150 to 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in a sauna, that's the level of heat.
Yep.
So I'm no rocket scientist here, but I'm thinking coronavirus dead at 135 degrees. I'm in a sauna twice a day. I'm zapping it. Does anybody else think that's anything other than brilliant?
I absolutely agree with that.
And
absolutely.
We got more time at home. We can figure out where to put it. Plug it in inside. It's very easy. It's nothing to it. They'll deliver it today. You call today, they'll deliver it today. In fact, I didn't ask him this, but I'm gonna give you Vince's cell phone number. All right? And if you like me think that's something you should do before the day is out, I'd call him if I were you. 701-238-9837. 701-238-9837. Somebody said, wouldn't you have to get your internal temperature to 135 degrees?
Nope.
You wouldn't?
Nope.
Is that right? Okay.
You're basically inducing a fever.
Yeah.
and you just have to bump it a degree or two.
And inducing a fever goes back to, like, you know,
sweat lodges.
The Dark Ages. They've been doing that forever.
Forever. Yep.
Hot Springs Spas, Pool Tables 2, Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks 2. Tell them Scott sent you. All right, here. Did we find Dr. Haggerat? Not yet. Okay. All right. We'll keep working on that while I talk to Chris in Bismarck. Chris in Bismarck, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead. Chris, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, sir.
Good. Just calling in, the governor mentioned before that there was a 14-day quarantine and people that were traveling. My wife works at Burley County Social Services. They have an employee that came back from New York City last week, Tuesday or Monday. They told him to quarantine for 7 days, and he was back in the office this week, Tuesday, on the sixth day of quarantine, wearing a face mask to get some stuff out of his office. Some of the employees noted he was touching a bunch of the mailboxes. He was also unsupervised, so they don't know what else he was touching. He was in contact with a TSA agent from the airport that has tested positive. And another thing that's unnerving is none of the employees, including my wife, were able to get an answer from their manager on why the gentleman was in the building unsupervised and why they didn't take the office supplies he wanted out to his vehicle instead of letting him in the office unsupervised. They also don't know if he's actually sick right now. He was, like I said, he was wearing a face mask, so they have to assume that he probably is contagious or actively sick. And as of right now, my wife was told that Burley County was supposed to be working from home last week Friday. She's still in the office working there. This morning she said she's not feeling well but has to go in because she has no way to work from home. Apparently Burley County does not have a disaster plan in place to get this stuff set up.
Now, let me make sure I understand. Where does your wife work?
Burley County Social Services in downtown Bismarck.
Okay, and the individual who was told to quarantine and self-isolate comes in with a mask and also to the Burley County Social Services.
Yes, he was allowed in by the managers, knowing he hadn't even completed 7 days of quarantine yet.
Who runs this place? One of the Three Stooges or what? I mean, my gosh, this seems like a no-brainer.
Burley County, same people they had a meeting about a couple weeks ago with the poor work environment.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, that needs some sunshine.
I did call the Department of Health as well and address the concern with them. I must call the Department of Health, but I was fed a bunch of canned lines about, well, if this person doesn't have a fever or a cough, if they haven't been tested, and I tried to explain to them, I don't know. Nobody knows if he was tested or not. They just know he was wearing a face mask, and he hasn't completed 14 days of quarantine, only six. There are several people in the office that have medical issues, a compromised immune system. And like I said, this morning my wife woke up. She's got a low fever, and she's starting to not feel well, so I'm concerned. And I was also very upset the Department of Health wouldn't take my call seriously. They blew me off. And all I said and asked was, you might want to contact the office and get everybody's name just in case one of them comes up sick. And here we find out last night that this employee who came back from New York City was in contact with one of the TSA agents that's tested positive.
All right, well, two things I'm going to do. One is this entire conversation we're going to post on our Facebook page so it gets some attention, and we'll also forward it on to the governor's office because somebody obviously needs to talk to the county about what's going on there. And, you know, I get people right now are swamped and they're getting calls saying, hey, what about this person? What about that person? You can't deal with all of them, but that one seems like an absolute no-brainer. Appreciate that very much, Chris. So we'll stay on it. I appreciate your call. Deanna in Williston. And then we have Dr. Mark Haggerat joining it. Our hotline was busy, so he wasn't able to get through. So we've got him now, and we'll chat with him as soon as we're done with Deanna. Deanna, what's on your mind?
Hi, this is Dana Shaw from Williston. I have you on speaker. I'm trying to get to. I just have a question for you. I'm from Michigan, and my entire state now in Michigan is locked down where one of my kids are, and it's kind of they're pulling you over if you're going and asking what you're doing. And, you know, I guess that makes sense because that's what the governor did. But when we were back there in 2009, They had the H1N1 pandemic. And one of the girls in my kid's little Christian school was sick. If I read the statistics right, 60 million of us caught it. 270,000 of us were in hospital, and 12,000 died. And a girl was in my children's school who got it. They didn't quarantine my kids. They didn't shut the school down. My kids' life, you know, I remember the kids being a bit scared about it. But somebody's got to help me understand, and maybe not just me, and maybe I'm being, you know, too laissez-faire or whatever, but why is this so different? When we had, I'm reading the word 60 million. I put the zeros after that. 60 million people, not in the world, in America, according to the CDC, had this. What's the difference? Somebody please help me understand the difference that we're going to destroy our country and our economy. I know 12,000 people are 12,000 too many people, but we'll probably have 12,000 suicides in a year right now, if not more, if 30% unemployment.
None of what you're saying isn't worthy of considering in all of this. The one thing I think that I need to understand better is because of what we've learned from other places, the rate of spread and how it spreads. In other words, it can be in the air, it can be on something you touch, it can be, you know, there are a lot of ways that this spread, and it lasts a long time, like it just stays in the air a long time, stays on surfaces 24 hours, to, you know, that once it's out there. I don't know that matched with H1N1. I will say this, from the very beginning of this, you know, the media I don't know how to describe this other than to say they were loving what was happening because, in their view, hurt Donald Trump. I think they've moved off of that and realized it's serious, but they never did that with H1N1, and the numbers were way worse. Now, I'm going to get a doctor on.
I noticed one thing. Can I ask you one thing, too? I noticed that somebody posted this. When after President Trump had the travel ban, the commissioner, the health commissioner of New York City, I saw it, shared a tweet, stated that she was going to have that Chinese New Year's lunar party, and you are all going to miss something. That was on February 6th. She said that. So he closes down China, not maybe not just China, and again, I'm not racist at all, but he said, we're not going to allow people in. And the health commissioner for the entire city of New York City said, don't miss out. We're all going to be down there at the lunar New Year's party. It's like, are you kidding me? And
yeah,
now that's ground zero.
Dana, I appreciate the call. We're going to get it. You know, we're due anyway for a conversation with a doctor and an update on the numbers. So we'll get one of the medical experts and try and answer that. Maybe I'll even go to the CDC to get it. We asked for Dr. Fauci. They said we'll get him. He's just very busy right now. Dr. Birx, they thought we'd get two that are on the president's coronavirus task force. Dr. Mark Hagerod is the chancellor of the North Dakota University System, and we have connected with him. Mark, how are you?
Well, great, and I take it's a real compliment to you that your line's so busy with your callers. I was on hold, but I'm glad to be able to join you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and sorry for the delay in getting you hooked up. We have about a minute before the break here, so we might as well start with an overview of today at North Dakota's colleges and universities. Business as usual, just not with kids on campus. I mean, classes being taught. Give us an update on where we're at.
Yeah, that's the point. Nothing is closed as far as education. We've shifted online, and I just want to say that North Dakota is well prepared. You know, we have some universities in the top 20 in the nation in online distance education. We were early to this, and so the students are being educated by alternate means. And if there's a few exceptions, those could be some of the nursing students need to come in for a lab because, you know, we see ourselves as supporting the governor and the state and getting those nurses out and, doctorate graduates as well is part of our crucial mission. So if you do see some exceptions of that, it's for supporting the state. But we can go in much more detail about what else we're doing. But that's the main message is your students are getting educated. They will graduate on time. They'll get their credit. We're just doing an alternate means to protect communities, parents, grandparents. And
yeah, like much of America right now. More with yep. Dr. Hagerod after this. Don't go away, folks.
Did you procrastinate all year about that foundation repair project and now you think it's too late? Hey, Lacey here with Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. No need to worry, we've got you covered. Whether you need waterproofing, drain tile, a crack repaired, or help stabilizing that settling foundation, don't wait.
Call 701-280-7038 and ask us about our winter discount or go to pccnd.com.
That's PCCND.com.
North Dakota is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials and supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, roads, and emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities and keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Paid for by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
We've got Brian in studio from Collins and Kronk Raymond James.
Brian, I was visiting with my girlfriend the other day, and she's just a few years from retirement. She was wondering if she can still retire if there's a recession just around the corner.
This is why planning is so important. When Collins and Kronk does a financial plan for you, we look at several different scenarios. We consider the positives or the good times, as well as the bad. What if there is a recession? We do the math so we can answer your questions with confidence. We want to help you make smart decisions like when to retire or what investments to use.
Whether it's a recession or an economic boom, Collins & Kronk can help you make the right decisions. If you have $500,000 or more, call Collins & Kronk in Fargo today. 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
On Keith Urban, and I'm not afraid
join
to
the club.
I'm not afraid to admit it.
Yeah, not either.
You know what I'm saying? I think there's no better country singer out there. His voice is just unbelievable. This is called The Fighter. And is that Carrie Underwood that sings with
him? Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a great video of him and Nicole in the car lip singing to that song, and Nicole's lip singing the Carrie part is very good.
You know, there's a part of me that is looking ahead, however long this lasts, is really unknowable at this point. And we'll take models and we'll take experts and doctors and add in some common sense. You know, the president saying, ah, come on, enough of this by Easter. I love that about him. He's pushing, right? Saying, don't get complacent with this. But I'm looking ahead. One thing I'm looking ahead is imagine when we respond as we have in the past to foreign intrusion into our markets and trying to disrupt and price dumping and oil dumping and everything else like the Saudis are doing, like the Russians are doing right now with oil prices. Combine that with the coronavirus. Imagine that renaissance the next go-around when it comes back up. The energy of North Dakota, we know how much oil is in that Bakken. We know how much oil is in that Bakken. Right now we're getting about 10% of it. On a good day, maybe 12. You know, with some experimental things, maybe 20. But it can be much, much more. Find out more about all that at energyofnorthdakota.com, energyofnorthdakota.com. All right, we're finishing our chat with Dr. Mark Hagerot from the North Dakota University System. Mark is in charge of all of the university presidents and all of the university apparatus in the state of North Dakota, and obviously reports to the North Dakota Board of Higher Education as well. I'm curious, just from a higher education perspective, how North Dakota has handled this situation and being told that these changes were happening versus, you know, other places around the country. What have you seen, and how are we comparing?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The people should be very proud of their campuses and their students and faculty and staff. It has gone off like clockwork. People are pulling together. You know, I think the students understand they are protecting the communities they're in, right? Let's say they come back from spring break. They're self-isolating. They don't want to damage their hometowns or their colleges. But also, we've got older professors and faculty, staff. They're more vulnerable. And so instead of rioting like some colleges do, which I think is shameful, we've just had students and faculty, staff just do wonderful work. And so I think the people should be proud of that. And again, because it went early to online in many cases, we're well positioned. That learning software is in the cloud. We were one of the first states to do an entire cloud-based learning software. And the computers are working overtime to load all that. So there will be some glitches here and there. But really, we're in really good shape. And I just want to thank all the campus presidents who've been working long. I've got a call with them here because we're also social distancing. The State Board will hold its first hiring of a president tomorrow by technology. Never done that, but we don't want to contaminate, you know, the potential future president of BSC. So he or she are going to interview from a distance, and that's how adaptive the board is being too. So it's all very positive under very difficult circumstances.
A text question asks how NDSU was able to offer online classes so soon, since President Bershani had previously resisted any push for online learning at NDSU.
Well, you know, that's actually not quite accurate in that they have lots and lots of classes that are offered online. They just didn't go fully in like UND did, where UND was the first state in the nation to offer, or first university in the nation to offer an online accredited engineering degree, things like that. So they are adjusting remarkably well as well. And so across the whole system, very responsive.
Is this the new normal in higher education? Are we going to come out of this as a country where students are going to see the benefits of online and less expense and you know, maybe less bricks and mortar at campuses? Do you think this is going to transform that move maybe quicker than we were headed?
You know, I think it'll show the benefits of it, but let's face it, with all this, we're all seeing all this tension of social distancing. I mean, I'm able to go with my wife out to our farm and go for a walk in the back pasture, but you see lots of people jamming parks and things, trying to be close to people. So I think humans are essentially social. The students love to be with students, but we'll just see more options out there. I also think this could be a real appreciation for places like North Dakota. You know, our governor and the task force are on this early. You know, hopefully we'll keep the infections down, but you know, a big open state with lots of distance, you know, could actually see their value recognized. Let's face it, New York is really struggling because it's the highest density city in the nation. You know, so I think long term North Dakota will come out very well from this. We just got to pull together and sacrifice really for the older generation, and that's what I would say to your previous caller. The key difference here is older people, vulnerable people. The nurses, they're vulnerable. That's what we're doing this for. More than anything else, is to protect those people.
All right, Dr. Hagerot, thanks so much for the time today. Look forward to keeping up to date on all of the things happening in higher ed through this as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Kevin and Todd, here is a text I just received. Scott, I like you, but this glorified flu virus has turned into a sky, has turned you, me, into a sky is falling P-word. Shake my head. 6 to 10 more weeks of unnecessary restrictions? Up yours, Burgum. I'm voting for his Democratic opponents.
Whoa! Won't be many of those, but okay.
Well, I mean, if you want to, you know, vote somebody out, you probably want to vote out the doctors. But I guess at what point do you not listen to the doctors? I mean, the president said that yesterday. President said that yesterday. He said if I listen to them, they lock everybody up for 2 years.
Right.
So he does
exactly.
There is a balance there. But
well,
I think
the governor really doing anything that different from what most other responses are?
No.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Gotta go. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
This is Vince from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Coronavirus has us all worried about germs. Did you know in 400 BC, Hippocrates said, give me the ability to induce a fever and I can cure any illness? Well, that's exactly what happens when you sit in a sauna daily. You're artificially inducing a fever and your body reacts by relieving it, sweating out the bad. That's what a sauna does. It sweats out the bad. It's better than a flu shot. And we get what's going on right now. That is why we're offering very special financing, including 12 months, no interest, no payments. If you already have a hot spring spa in your backyard, it's a great way to retreat and reconnect with family and friends. If you don't, call us. We have a virtual showroom. We'll walk you through the different models and all the options that are available and discuss how we can get this to your home without you leaving. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck. Online at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.